Brother Hank Davis Jr. Sermon is entitled, God, Is That You? Scripture is 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3. Scripture reader is Brother Nick Cimentero, presiding at the Lord's table, Charlie Hopkins Jr. and Wiley Edwards. Closing prayer, Brother Vince Cimentero. Yep. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for this time you've given us to assemble to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Father, we ask now blessings upon all who are here to bless, Father, each person in a special way. Also those who had a desire to be here today but were unable. And Father, we're praying that this service, Father, will inspire those who need to respond to the gospel before it's everlastingly too late. Continue, Father, to smile down upon us and give us all of your love. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. The first song will be 635. 635.
Tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Father,
number 969. 969.
Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya.
Let us bow in prayer. O Lord, our Father, maker of all mankind, we come to you humbly, thanking you for this opportunity to be able to worship you, to praise you, to be able to give you all the wonderful credit that is so due to you. We thank you for the gifts that we have been given. We thank you that we're able to gather as a family and that we can edify each other, lift each other up, and to be able to sing wonderful praises. We ask that it be sweet to your ear. Father, we also ask that you watch over the eldership of this congregation, give them the knowledge and the wisdom that they need to be able to shepherd us so that this kingdom of your sons may grow, it may be vibrant, and we may be that light on the hill in this community that guides them to your word. Father, we thank you most of all for your son who came to this earth. He gave himself so willingly, so lovingly, that we, the sinners that we are, can be washed clean and be able to worship you this morning. Father, we ask that you watch over those in the congregation who are ill this morning. There's so many, Father, on our list. We ask that you give them the courage that they need to be able to lift up their heads, to be able to recover from their ills, if it be your will, Father, and that they may gather with us soon, that we may all be together as one. Father, we also ask that you watch over the leaders of this great land that we live in. Give them the wisdom that they need to be able to lead as they need to, and that they may be able to make good choices, and that they may be able to be the leaders in the world that we are, for we are indeed the strongest country on this earth. Let us continue to be so, Father, and to welcome those who are in need. Father, there's so much war going on in Ukraine and the Gaza Strip, and Father, these are terrible, terrible wars. We ask if it be your will that we can find an end to these wars soon, and that peace may soon prevail. Father, watch over all of us as we go through our lives. Help us to be Christ-like so that others may see Christ in us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Prayer of minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing 330.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble goal? Why did he choose the lowly birth, because he loved me so? He loved
as we look at our calendars, you know, we see that we are almost a month into 2024. And we can just look back over the years and we can see how much things have changed. The technology that we have has really changed the way we have done things, the way people shop, the way people interact. Things that we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, beyond that, we don't do those things anymore. But when we come together on this first day of the week, and we prepare to take of the Lord's Supper, we don't make any change to this. And it's amazing how well the Heavenly Father knows His creation. You know, He created each and every one of us, and He knew He knew the temptations that we would face. So when you read the scripture, Acts 27 tells us to come together on the first day of the week. You can read it in 1 Corinthians 11, 27, 34, explaining how to partake of it in a worthy manner. You don't read anything in the scripture that says, you know, partake of it in this particular manner, but if some time comes along, if there's a time in your life, you come along, you can change it if you want to. You won't ever read that. The scriptures are very plain. It's very precise. These are his commandments, and we follow them no matter what the year is. So as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, let's keep that in mind. Let us reflect. Let us clear our hearts, and let us reflect back on that sacrifice and what it meant to each and every one of us. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, to be able to come together, to be able to come together on this first day of the week, to be able to come together in fellowship, Heavenly Father, to come together in remembrance, to be able to take this time, Heavenly Father, to clear our minds, to be able to reflect back to that sacrifice that thy Son Jesus made on our behalf when he endured the suffering, the humiliation, Heavenly Father, and he ultimately was willing to give his life because he loved this world so much. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this bread, represents thy Son's body, that we'll do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our Father who art in heaven, we are so grateful and thankful and humble this morning, Father, that you found each and every precious soul worthy of the precious blood of Christ Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We're so grateful, so thankful, and it's an honor to partake of this cup in his memory. For it is in his name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
If anyone was overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, raise your hands. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. Also, you can read 2 Corinthians 9:7. You know, clear instruction. Go to the scriptures, clear instruction on how we should give, so that as we prepare to give back, that we don't have any issues, and that our hearts and our minds are in the right place as we give back. You know, do so. That we do so in a way that will be pleasing to the Heavenly Father. So let us keep that in mind as we pray for giving. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for raising us from our beds this morning, breathing that breath of life into our lungs, Heavenly Father, allowing us to live another day, to be able to enjoy all that you have created, to be able to come together, to be able to be grateful for all thy blessings, Heavenly Father, to appreciate all that you do. For we know, Heavenly Father, that you are with us each and every step of the way, Heavenly Father. We know that all that we are able to do, all our talents, all our skill, just the will that we have, Heavenly Father, is all to you. And we just so thankful for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, to come together, to be able to give back a portion of all the wonderful blessings that you have given us, and to be able to give back in a way that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's mark 887 as a song for the table. 887. And before the lesson, we'll sing number 392. 392 for the stanzas in this song.
If the skies above are gray, you are crystal blue. If your cares and burdens seem great, all the whole day through. There are silver lights that shine in the heavenly night. The light I can see in my friend, trust in promises, friend. Sing it, tell me. He has been present on
Scripture reading for this morning's sermon be coming from the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. That's the New Testament book of 1 John chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. And I'll be reading from the New King James translation. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now our brother Davis, in his sermon, is titled this morning, God... Is that you?
Thank you, Brother Nick. Good morning, church. You know, it's always a blessing to be able to be here with you all, and this is the first time I've been with you this year, so Happy New Year to everybody. You know, it's a blessing to that to be able to do God's work and to be able to bring His word. It's also just truly a blessing to be able to get up in the morning. You know, and for those of us who brave the elements of what is another wonderful winter here in the great state of Michigan. Just to be able to be here, to be able to fellowship, to be able to gather and be able to sing songs of praise, to be able to pray and take the Lord's Supper. It is just good to be able to do all those things. Amen. Just be free to be able to do those things and to be able to stand before you and give up another portion of the Lord's Word. It is just truly an honor and a privilege, and it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. It really is. If you're visiting with us this morning, we want to take this opportunity to welcome you here to the Ypsilanti Church of Christ. We consider you our honored guest. We're glad you've chosen to worship with us this morning. We ask that at the end of service that you don't run off us, give us an opportunity again to meet you all. Scripture tells us that the true worshipers are being led by the Spirit to worship the Father according to the truth. These are the ones the Father is seeking to worship him, because God is Spirit, and those who worship him, worship God, must be led by the Spirit to worship according to the truth. This is in John 4, 23 and 24. In Ephesians 5 and 20 reads, "Always give thanks to God for the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." We all want to give thanks to everything for God for getting us up this morning, for getting us on our way, you know, for keeping breath in our lungs and just to be able to do the things that we sometimes just take for granted. To quote the Apostle Paul, it says, "Grace and peace be with you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And before I get started, I just want to let you know this morning that God does love you. He loves you. He loves all of us. And I want to let you know that this morning that he is real. He is alive. And his son, Jesus, oh so many years ago, he did die on the cross, rose up out the tomb, and he ascended into heaven where he is now sits on the right hand of the Father, speaking to God on our behalf. And as I stand before you today, that I believe in his son, the one they call Jesus, because he lives. And without him, we can do nothing, but with him, all things are possible according to his purpose. You know, this morning, I want to just share with you a few scriptures before we really get into the lesson a little bit, just to kind of give some insight that, you know, we are now, as Brother Charles said, we're almost a month into a new year, And as we continue on with our Christian walk, you know, we want to be able to kind of really maintain and keep a foundation as we go on into this year, as God continues to bless us into this year. You know, when we read in Proverbs, one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, where it says, "To trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not into thy own understanding, in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And also be not wise unto thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And when we go to Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, and it reads that, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so that my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And then again, we go to Hebrews in the New Testament, Hebrews 13, 8 and 9, Hebrews 13, 8 and 9, in which it reads, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have been profited them that have been occupied therein." So to be clear, we can say that we serve a very, very consistent God whose thoughts and ways are not like our own. Moreover, they are higher and greater than ours. It's been that way forever. Thus, as it pertains to him, we should never look at ourselves as so wise as to lean upon our own understanding. Rather, we must turn away from all which is evil and not be tempted or fooled by strange doctrine or teachings. We must trust, respect, and give the Lord our undivided attention to direct our path, because He is better to it, because it is better to receive the strength from God's gift of undeserved grace than to depend on certain foods or meats that will not sustain us. So this is a good lesson to start our day, start our year with. So when it comes to what the Lord expects from Christians, it must be understood that we are truly following the path that He has ordered for us, and not one that we have navigated for ourselves. However, God does not expect us to traverse this path alone. He does not. On the contrary, when Christ ascended into heaven, He didn't leave us here alone. See, the scriptures tell us, I never leave you nor forsake you. No, but when He ascended into heaven, He said He was going to send us a helper. Or as John 15 says, He sent us a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And in John 16, 13 through 15, Jesus will say, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak for Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, and that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All the things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore, said I, that ye shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus is saying here that everything the Father has is Mine. This is why I have said that the Spirit takes My message and tells it to you. So in other words, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to us, and He speaks through us. Okay? He speaks to us. He speaks through us. He guides us. And in Acts 2:38 and 39, the Apostle Peter would say to the people there on the day of Pentecost, we read there in Acts 2:38 and 39, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom our Lord, our God, will call. So, it says that we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit through baptism, upon baptism. And when we go to Romans 8:9, in other passages of Scripture, it reads that the Holy Spirit dwells within us that are in Christ Jesus. So the Spirit of the Lord is with us always, okay? Is with us always to guide us, to direct us on our journey here on earth. However, because we are flesh and blood, because we do have free will, because we are imperfect beings, we can on occasion be fooled, duped, chiseled, flim-flam, bamboozled, and led astray, unfortunately. And since Scripture tells us in Ephesians 6:12, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against all the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms, or as King James would say, in high places. Our passage of Scripture this morning says that makes it very clear that we are to make sure that we not believe every spirit, that we try the spirits, and we should probably ask, especially when we are living in this world, what is our intuitions, what is our thoughts, and make sure that we ask God, is that you? Is that really you? So now the question is, and we should ask is, how do we necessarily try spirits? How do we try spirits? That's a good question. Well, first of all, before we can try any spirit, we need to understand what the Spirit of God really is. So what is the Spirit of God that dwells within us? Well, let's go back to Scripture. Let's go to the New Testament book of John. John 4 and 24 first says, that God is a spirit, and that his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we know that God's spirit is one thing. He is the spirit of truth. Scripture tells us that you will know the truth, and the truth will do what? It will set you free. Okay? So God, we know, is the spirit of truth. All right? We can go from Genesis 1, and we know that God is the spirit of creation. We know that he is the spirit of creation. Okay? So that's number two. Number three, we know from Isaiah 11 that he is the spirit. We're talking about David, but we know that God is a spirit of wisdom. We know he is a spirit of understanding. We know he is a spirit of counsel. We know he is a spirit of might. He is a spirit of knowledge. And he is a spirit of respect for the Lord. So we know these things about him from Scripture. We go to Romans 8. Okay? Romans 8 says God's spirit does what? Help us with our weaknesses and intercedes. Intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. So then he intercedes on our behalf as well. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says he is the spirit of freedom. 2 Timothy 1:7 says he is the spirit of power and he is the spirit of love. So those are scriptures throughout the Bible that tells you what his spirit is. And we know from Galatians 5:22 that now it identifies what the fruits of that spirit is. What the fruit of that spirit is. So let's look at that. Galatians 5:22-23. And I know these are scriptures that you are familiar with, but it says that the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As such, there is no law. As such, that there is no law. So now we know what the spirit of God is. We know there's all these beautiful things, right? And we know that throughout the Gospels that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, modeled these fruits, okay? We saw his patience. We saw his love, okay? When he was healing the sick, we think about the woman at the well when he wasn't judgmental, when he told her he showed forgiveness, all right? He's shown forgiveness to all of us, all right? He knows that we are dealing not with flesh and blood. That's why when he died on the cross, he said, forgive them, Father. Why? Because they know not what they're doing. They know not what they do. Because he understood. All right? So he showed to us and he illustrated these fruits. See, I remember back in the day, there used to be these wrist bracelets. Y'all remember those? They had WWJD. They said, what would Jesus do? All right? I remember Gary Vaught saying one time, it shouldn't say, what did Jesus do? What would Jesus do? It should say, what Jesus did. I remember him saying at that time, so I kind of like want to bring that up. So when the word of God says to try the spirits, to see whether they are from God, the question is why? Why should we try the spirits? Well, that's a simple question, because there's many false prophets, as Scripture says, that's gone out into the world. That's gone out into the world, and they've created their own religions. They've created their own doctrine. They've created their own understanding. They've created their own belief systems, okay? Not necessarily worldly folk. We know how that can go sometime, right? But I'm talking about, you know, just the people who call themselves Christians. Think about this, okay? People openly preaching false doctrine, stuff that you can't find in the Bible, nowhere. You know, there's some religions out there that tell you that Jesus was solely an angel. There's others that tell you that he's solely a prophet. You even have some that will tell you that he's not even the Son of God. He's not even the Son of God. Not even recognizing the Gospels at all, and even the fact that Christ died on the cross and that we are under the blood of Jesus Christ. That there are some Christians, there are some religions out there, there are some doctrines out there, should I say, that stop in the Old Testament, and that's what they base their whole life on. Okay, there are even people who are openly, in this day and age, openly preaching hatred and deception from the pulpit. Hatred and deception from the pulpit, that's just terrible. There's even a televangelist out there, who shall remain nameless, that is telling people that they no longer sin. That because they bring the word of God and they love the Lord, that they are no longer a sinner, which is a sin which in itself, right? Because we know that the Bible says that, you know, that first and foremost, not only is that one of the most self-righteous statements you've ever heard, but it completely contradicts what Scripture says. You can go to 1 John 1:8, and it says, if we say we have what? No sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we have to know that, you know, we look at this stuff, and it's like, God, is that you? That can't be you saying these sort of things. We know we go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7 says what? Beware of false prophets and false teachers. Matthew 7 says you will know them by their what? By their fruits. Okay, so if folks are sitting out there just saying things that comes off the top of their head because it sounds good, we need to understand and we need to test that to know that that is not of God. God, that can't be you. And God would probably say, no, it wasn't me that's giving you that. And we have to be prepared for that. You know, every spirit, the Scripture says that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. We'll get into that in a minute. But see, when you see folks or you see people speaking false doctrine or these sort of things, and you see where they want to kind of mold and make things convenient for today, all right? There's one thing you can go in the Bible and look at, and you can see that sin is very well documented in the Bible, and it's not ambiguous. There's one thing that the Bible did. Folks say, well, the Bible never said this. The Bible never said this. I promise you, there's not a sin that's ever been created by man that's not in the Bible. It's already there. You don't have to guess about it. It is there. It starts with the Ten Commandments, but it moves on, and it's very clear what sin is. The Bible does not fake the funk, if you will, when it comes to sin. It is real, okay? And for folks to try to circumvent that is not of God. That is truly not of God. So what is the spirit of Antichrist? What is the spirit of Antichrist? This is a spirit or anything or anyone opposing the teaching, the existence, or anything related to Christ. Okay, this is just like an antidepressant or an antihistamine. It's against the histamine or it's against the depressant. It's the same thing here. People who say that Jesus is not from God are controlled by the spirit of the Antichrist. Satan opposes Christ, and he desires to deceive people into false view of who Jesus is. The spirit of the Antichrist teaches against Christ. To twist the truth about Jesus Christ is to pervert the gospel, and to pervert the gospel, Satan works to spread lies, Christ, and to keep people in what? In the dark. In the dark. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, right? And have gone out into the world. Such person is the deceiver, and the deceiver and the Antichrist. See, God, is that you? No, that's not God. Anything that tries to deceive you from who Christ is and what he has done. Okay, is that spirit of Antichrist? Is that deceiver? Go back into the book of Genesis when Eve was told by the serpent, said, "Well, God said, don't eat from the tree of knowledge, I will die." What did he say? You won't die. You know, when Christ said, "I'm going to die on the cross," and Peter says, "You won't die. They won't kill you." He said, "What? Get behind me, Satan." Wasn't calling Peter Satan. He was saying, there you are with that deceiver. The deceiver is what we're talking about, is Satan. And anything that deceives us or tries to separate us from the love of God and from Christ is a deceiver. And it has that spirit of Antichrist. So we cannot be deceived. We have to understand what that spirit is. And we have to understand that when we are praying and we are trying to get close to our Lord, that what he is giving us, where he is guiding us, where he is directing us, if it is not falling in line very clearly to what his spirit is, of love, of peace, of understanding, of letting him guide us, if it's anything that has to do with us, then we need to check that spirit. And we need to ask God, is that you? And we should know basically by what is being asked of us or what that intention is that is in us. You know, what that is that's in us. So we must understand how to do this. We can't be deceived. Deceiver will have you believing anything. So we have to pray. Pray without ceasing. We have to love our enemies. Why? Because that keeps any sort of animosity and hatred from building up in us. We must rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Weep with those who are weeping. Walk in forgiveness. Confess that Jesus came in the flesh and is God. My friends, we beg you to warn anyone who isn't living right, encourage everyone who feels left out, help all who are weak, and be patient with everyone. Don't be hateful to people just because they were hateful with you. Rather, be good to each other and everyone else. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Whatever happens, keep thanking God because of Jesus. This is what God wants you to do. Don't turn away from God's spirit or ignore prophecies. But everything through a test. Accept what is good and don't have anything to do with what is evil. Kind of goes back to the scriptures that I read this morning earlier. I pray that God gives peace, will make you completely holy, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept healthy and faultless until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. The one who chose you can be trusted, and he will do this. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:14-24. God, is that you? Is that you? That's very important. That's very important in our walk. We're being challenged. We're being tested on a daily basis. We are ambassadors of Christ as we walk out this door and everywhere we go. He is supposed to be in front of us. He's supposed to be behind us and on our sides. But we need to understand that we're doing everything that we're supposed to do. So we need to pray without ceasing and keep testing those spirits to make sure that we know, yes, God, that is you. And so this morning, if you're not yet a member of the Lord's church, the question is very simple. Understand that God has already done what he was supposed to do by sending his son Christ to die on the cross. So our quest for remission of sins. So the question is, what must I do to be saved? Well, you've heard his word. Believe it with all your heart. Believe that that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess to Jesus Lord, be baptized, and come up out of the water, and walk in the newness of life. And God then adds you to his church. That's Acts 2:47. Not by vote or decision of man, but God alone adds you to his church. And if you're already a Christian, and you strayed away for whatever reason, and you found yourself asking God, is that you? And not really knowing the answer, remember that we serve a living, forgiving Savior, and he ready to celebrate and rejoice and wait for your return. If you are in need of prayer, as always, prayer works. Prayer always works. And so, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him and trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, whatever your needs this morning, we ask you that you make them known as you come forward and have a seat on the first pew. As together we stand and sing the song of invitation, kneel at the cross. May God continue to bless you all.
Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. He intercedes for you. Lift up your voice. Live within your prayer. And begin life anew. Every care.
Thank you.